Chapter 14. Educating the Generics. Generics are the chameleons of the well. In general, they were trained to do specific jobs but could be upgraded if the need arose. Occasionally, a generic would jump up spontaneously within the grade. But to jump from one grade to another without external help, they said, was impossible. From what I would learn, impossible was a word that should not be bandied about the well without due thought. Imagination being what it is, anything could happen, and generally did. Thursday next, the Jurisfiction Chronicles. Big Martin had made a mess of the pro-caf fanatics who had attacked us. The leader was identified by his dental records. Why he had them on him, no one was quite sure. He had been a D3 crew member in on the beach and was replaced within 24 hours. Wuthering Heights was repaired within a few lines, and because Havisham had been holding the rage counselling sessions between chapters, no one reading the book noticed anything. In fact, the only evidence of the attack now to be seen in the book was Hareton's shotgun, which exploded accidentally in Chapter 32, most likely as a result of a ricocheting bullet damaging the latching mechanism.
"How was your day today?"
asked Gran as I walked back on board the Sunderland. "Very expositional to begin with," I said, falling into a sofa and tickling Pickwick, who had come over all serious and matronly. But it ended quite dramatically.
"Did you have to be rescued again?"
"Yes and no."
"The first few days in a new job are always a bit shaky," said Gran. "Why do you have to work for Jurisfiction anyway?"
"It was part of the exchange program deal."
"Oh, yes," she replied. "Would you like me to make you an omelette?"
"Anything."
"Right. I'll need you to crack the eggs and mix them and get me down the saucepan and..."
I heaved myself up and went through to the small galley, where the fridge was full of food, as always.
"Where's Ibn Ob?"
I asked.
"Out, I think," replied Gran. "Would you make us both a cup of tea while you're up?"
"Sure." "I still can't remember Landon's second name, Gran. I've been trying all day." Gran came into the galley and sat on a kitchen stool, which happened to be right in the way of everything. She smelt of sherry, but for the life of me I didn't know where she hid it.
"But do you remember what he looks like?"
I stopped what I was doing and stared out of the kitchen porthole. "Yes," I replied slowly. "Every line, every mole, every expression. But I still remember him dying in the Crimea."
"That never happened, my dear. But the fact..." "I should use a bigger bowl if I were you. You can remember his features proves he's not gone any more than yesterday. I should use butter and not oil. And if you have any mushrooms, you could chop them up and put a bit of onion and bacon. Do you have any bacon?"
"Probably." "You still didn't tell me how you managed to find your way here, Gran."
"That's easily explained. Tell me, did you manage to get a list of the dullest books you could find?"
Granny Next was 108 years old and was convinced that she couldn't die until she had read the 10 most boring classics. On an earlier occasion, I had suggested Fairy Queen, Paradise Lost, Ivanhoe, Moby Dick, A la Recherche du Temps Perdu, Pamela and A Pilgrim's Progress. She had read them all and many others but was still with us. Trouble is, boring is about as hard to quantify as pretty, so I really had to think of the 10 books that she would find most boring.
"What about Silas Marner?" "Only boring in parts, like Hard Times. You're going to have to do a little better than that. And if I were you, I'd use a bigger pan, but on a lower heat."
"Right," I said, beginning to get annoyed. "Perhaps you'd like to cook? You've done most of the work so far."
"No, no," replied Gran, completely unfazed. "You're doing fine."
There was a commotion at the door, and Ib came in, followed closely by Ob.
"Congratulations," I called out.
"What for?" asked Ib, who no longer looked identical to Ob. For a start, Ob was at least 4 inches taller, and its hair was darker than Ib's, which was beginning to go blonde.
"For becoming capitalized."
"Oh, yes," enthused Ib. "It's amazing what a day at St. Tabularasa's will do for one. Tomorrow we'll finish our gender training, and by the end of the week we'll be streamed into character groups." "I want to be a male mentor figure," said Ob.
Our tutor said that sometimes we can have a choice of what we do and where we go. Are you making supper?
No, I replied, testing their sarcasm response.
I'm giving my pet egg heat therapy.
Ib laughed, which was a good sign, I thought, and went off with Ob to practice whimsical retorts in case either of them was given a posting as a humorous sidekick.
Teenagers, said Granny next. Tch! I'd better make it a bigger omelette. Take over, would you? I'm going to have a rest.
We all sat down to eat 20 minutes later. Ob had brushed its hair into a parting, and Ib was wearing one of Gran's gingham dresses. Hoping to be female? I asked, passing Ib a plate.
Yes, replied Ib, but not one like you. I'd like to be more feminine and a bit hopeless. The sort that screams a lot when they get into trouble and has to be rescued.
Really? I asked, handing Gran the salad.
Why?
Ib shrugged.
I don't know. I just like the idea of being rescued a lot, that's all. Being carried off in big, strong arms sort of appeals. I thought I could have the plot explained to me a lot, too, but I should have a few good lines of my own, be quite vulnerable, yet end up saving the day due to a sudden flash of idiot savant brilliance.
I think you'll have no trouble getting a placement, I sighed. But you seem quite specific. Have you used someone in particular as a model?
Her, exclaimed Ib, drawing out a much-thumbed Outland copy of Silverscreen from beneath the table. On the cover was none other than Lola Vavoom, being interviewed for the umpteenth time about her husband's, her denial of any cosmetic surgery, and her latest film, usually in that order.
Gran! I said sternly. Did you give Ib that magazine?
Well, you know how impressionable generics can be. Why didn't you give her a magazine with Jenny Gudgeon in it? She plays proper women, and can act, too.
Have you seen Miss Vavoom in My Sister Kept Geese?
Replied Gran indignantly.
I think you'd be surprised. She shows considerable range.
I thought about Cordelia Flack and her producer friend Harry Flex wanting Lola to play me in a film. The idea was too awful to contemplate. You were going to tell us about subtext, said Ob, helping itself to more salad.
Oh, yes, I replied, a distraction from Vavoom a welcome break. Subtext is the implied action behind the written word. Text tells the reader what the characters say and do, but subtext tells us what they mean and feel. The wonderful thing about subtext is that it is common grammar, written in human experience. You can't understand it without a good working knowledge of people and how they interact. Got it?
Ib and Ob looked at one another.
No.
Okay, let me give you a simple example. At a party, a man gives a woman a drink and she takes it without answering. What's going on?
She isn't very polite, suggested Ib.
Perhaps, I replied. But I was really looking for some sort of clue as to their relationship.
Ob scratched its head and said, She can't speak because, she lost her tongue in an industrial accident due to his negligence?
You're trying too hard. For what reason would someone not necessarily say thank you for something?
Because, said Ib slowly, they know one another.
Good. Being handed a drink at a party by your wife, husband, girlfriend, or partner, you would as likely as not just take it. If it was from a host to a guest, then you would thank them. Here's another. There's a couple walking down the road, and she is walking 8 paces behind him.
He has longer legs? Suggested Ib.
No.
They've broken down?
They've had an argument, said Ob excitedly, and they live nearby or they would be taking their car.
Could be, I responded. Subtext tells you lots of things.
Ib, did you take the last piece of chocolate from the fridge?
There was a pause.
No.
Well, because you paused, I know pretty confidently that you did.
Oh, said Ib. I'll remember that.
There was a knock at the door.
I opened it to reveal Mary's ex-beau Arnold looking very dapper in a suit and holding a small bunch of flowers. Before he had time to open his mouth, I had closed the door again.
Ah,
I said, turning to Ib and Ob. This is a good opportunity to study subtext. See if you can figure out what is going on behind our words. And Ib, please don't feed Pickwick at the table. I opened the door again and Arnold, who had started to slink off, came running back.
Oh, he said with mock surprise. Mary not back yet?
No, in fact, she probably won't be back for some time. Can I take a message? And I closed the door on his face again.
Okay,
I said to Ib and Ob. What do you think is going on?
He's looking for Mary, suggested Ib.
But he knows she's gone away, said Ob. He must be coming to speak to you Thursday.
Why? For a date?
Good.
What am I saying to him?
Ib and Ob thought hard.
If you didn't want to see him, you'd have told him to go away, so you might be the tiniest bit interested.
Excellent,
I told them. Let's see what happens next. I opened the door again to a confused-looking Arnold, who broke into a wide smile.
Well, he said, no message for Mary, it's just...
We had planned to see Willow Lodge and the Limes this evening.
I turned to Ib and Ob, who shook their heads. They didn't believe it either.
Well, said Arnold slowly, perhaps you might like to come with me to the concert.
I shut the door again.
He pretended to have the idea about going to see Willow Lodge tonight, said Ib slowly and more confidently, when in fact I think he had it planned all along that way. I think he fancies you big time. I opened the door again.
I'm sorry, no, I told him hastily. Happily married.
It's not a date, exclaimed Arnold quickly. Just a lift to a concert.
Here, take the ticket anyway. I've no one else to give it to. If you don't want to go, just bin it.
I shut the door again. Ib's wrong, said Ob. He really fancies you, but he's blown it by being too desperate. It would be hard for you to respect someone who would almost start begging.
Not bad, I replied. Let's see how it turns out.
I opened the door again and stared into Arnold's earnest eyes. You miss her, don't you?
Miss who? Asked Arnold, seeming nonchalant. Denial of love, yelled Ib and Ob from behind me. He doesn't really fancy you at all. He's in love with Mary and wants a date on the rebound.
Arnold looked suspicious.
What's going on?
Subtext classes, I explained. Sorry for being rude. Do you want to come in for a coffee?
Well, I should be going, really.
Playing hard to get,
hooted Ib, and Ob added quickly. The balance of power has tipped in his favour because you've been rude to him with all that door nonsense, and now you're going to have to insist that he come in for coffee, even if that means being nicer to him than you originally intended.
Are they always like this?
Inquired Arnold, stepping inside.
They learn quick, I observed. That's Ib and that's Ob.
Ib and Ob, this is Arnold.
Hello, said Arnold, thinking for a moment. Do you generics want to go and see Willow Lodge and the Limes?
They looked at one another for a moment, realized they were sitting just that little bit too close, and moved apart.
Do you? Said Ib. Well, only if you want to. I'm easy. It's your decision.
Well, yes, I'd really like to.
Then let's go, unless you've made other plans.
No, I haven't.
They got up, took the tickets from Arnold, and were out the door in a flash. I laughed and went through to the galley.
Who's the elderly woman? Asked Arnold.
It's my gran, I replied, switching on the kettle and getting out the coffee.
Is she... you know...
Goodness me, no! She's only asleep. She's 108.
Really? Why is she dressed in this dreadful blue gingham?
Has been for as long as I can remember. She came here to make sure I didn't forget my husband. Sorry, that makes me sound as though I'm labouring the point, doesn't it?
Listen, don't worry. I didn't mean to come over all romantic just then, but Mary, well, she's quite something, you know. And I'm not just in love with her because I was written that way. This one's for real. Like Nelson and Emma, Bogart and Bacall.
Finch Hatton and Blixen?
Yes, I know. I've been there.
Dennis was in love with Baron Blixen? Karen Blixen.
Oh.
He sat down and I placed a coffee in front of him. So, tell me about your husband.
Ha, I said, smiling. You don't want me to bore you about Landon.
It's not boring. You listen to me when I hark on about Mary. I stirred my coffee absently, running through my memories of Landon to make sure they were all there. Gran mumbled something about lobsters in her sleep.
It must have been a hard decision to come and hide out here, said Arnold quietly. I don't imagine Thursdays generally do that sort of thing.
You're right, they don't. But sometimes falling back and regrouping is not the same as running away.
Tactical withdrawal?
Right. What would you do to get together with Mary again?
Anything.
And I with Landon.
I will get him back.
Just not quite yet. But the strange thing is, I added slightly wistfully, when he comes back, he won't even know he'd been gone. It's not as though he's waiting for me to reactualize him. We chatted for about an hour. Arnold told me about the well, and I talked about the Outland. He was just trying to get me to repeat irrelevant, benevolent elephant, when Gran woke up with a yell, shouting, "The French! The French!" and had to be calmed down with a glass of warm whiskey before I put her to bed.
I'd better be going, said Arnold.
Mind if I drop round again?
Not at all, I replied. That would be nice.
I went to bed after that and was still awake when Ib and Ob returned from the concert. They were giggling and made a noisy cup of tea before retiring. I lay back and tried to sleep, hoping that I would dream of being back at our house, the one that Landon and I shared when we were married. Failing that, on holiday somewhere. Failing that, when we first met. And if that wasn't available, an argument. And lastly, anything with Landon in it at all. Aornis had other ideas.